Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. Join in our cyber church ministry. That's right. Right now, you are going to church with thousands of people all over America and all over the world. You know, it's so incredible that we can do this. It's so incredible that we can meet together like this. And I just love the fact that I'm speaking to people all over the world. Listen, today we're going to be talking about peace, the place of power. Now, you hear me talk about paradoxes a lot. If there has ever been a paradox, it's the concept that peace and power basically go hand in hand. And you can't have real power without peace, and you can't have real peace without a sense of power. Listen, if you've tried to experience the power of God, you've tried to work it up, you've tried to shout it up, you've tried to do all these things, experience the power of God, today you're going to discover that the real power is always found in the place of peace. You know, you're probably like me. That there was a time in my life when I wanted to know the power of God. And I'm sure, you know, as a new believer, a lot of that was for all of the wrong motives, but a lot of it was for the right motives. Man, I want to minister to people. I want to see the sick get healed. I want to see people get delivered. I want to see people get saved. I want to see God glorified in all of the earth. And so you know, I knew that we needed to see the power of God in order for, or experience the power of God in order to see God glorified. The sad thing is most of us have, a real misconception about how power comes, what power looks like. And the truth is, the power of God is experienced more through peace and love than it is through force. And generally, we try to use force to bring about the power of God. And just like I said in my introduction, man, we think if we shout a little bit louder, if we strain a little bit harder on the inside, it's almost like we think that we can push the power of God out of us and somehow it's going to manifest. But I got news for you. Knowing how much God loves people and being in the place of peace are the two factors more than anything else where the power of God will manifest through you and not only touch your life, but touch the lives of people around you. You know, this paradox of power and peace, it's something we've really got to get our head around. You know, there's a scripture we've all quoted, Zechariah 4:6, you know, where it says, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And, you know, we read scriptures like that, but then we wonder, what does that look like in real life? What does it look like when if I'm trusting God, but this is not happening by my power? And you know what? We really can't get our heads around that because we don't understand how to live at this place of rest, how to facilitate God, how to allow God to flow through us rather than trying to make God do something or make something happen in the name of God. You know, Psalm 20, verse 7 is a scripture that it is an interesting scripture. I love this scripture. It's a song we sang in church for years and years. I don't know how many different versions there are of it. But it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our God. That's this whole concept of saying, where will I focus my attention to get my sense of confidence, to get my sense of peace? Am I going to trust in the chariots and the horses to protect my country, or am I going to believe that God can do something even bigger than I can do through force, you know, through going to war? 2 Chronicles 32:8 talks about how that the Lord is our God is with us to help us and to fight our battles. And this was King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, talking to the children of Israel and strengthening him. But you know, you read a scripture like that. All right, some's going to trust in chariots, some's going to trust in horses. So does that mean you don't have chariots and horses? Well, no, that's not what it means. Well, okay, God's going to fight our battles for us. Does that mean, okay, so I'm not going to do anything? Well, no, because those people actually had to go out to war. You see, the people had to go out and go to battle, but they had to go out and go to battle from the place of peace, from this place of trusting God and walking in. And, you know, trusting God doesn't mean I'm going to just do what I want to do and I'm going to trust God to protect me. Trusting God says, I trust His ways, and I trust His ways will get me where I want to go. I trust his ways will lead me down a path where I am protected. But too many times we go down the path of our own personal choices, independent of God, sometimes totally opposed to God. And when it doesn't come out the way we want it to, then we're like, you know, I was praying and trusting God and he let me down. I can't trust God anymore. Let me tell you, if you're not trusting the way of God, you're not trusting God. You know, Romans 16:20 is real interesting scripture. It says, and it's talking about God really crushing Satan under our feet. It says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Now, you think, well, wait a minute. What about the God of war? We need the God of war to conquer Satan. Well, no. You need to connect to the God of peace if you want to keep Satan crushed under your feet. You see, the Bible talks about a Sabbath. Now, there are physical realities, if you will, for all of the Old Testament teachings. For example, you know, we know that the Sabbath in the Old Testament was a day of rest. We know that in the Old Testament, ever so many years, the land had to have a Sabbath. It had to have a rest. And rest was incredibly important in the health, the physical health of man, but it's also incredibly important in the spiritual well-being of man. And so with this Sabbath, you know, there were very strict laws about honoring the Sabbath. But see, when Jesus came, we came to realize, yes, we still should have a Sabbath, but the Sabbath was actually a type of the Lord Jesus. He is our Sabbath. He is our place of rest. In the book of Hebrews, the 3rd and 4th chapter, it talks about entering into rest, and it talks about the fact that the children of Israel could not find rest because really they didn't trust God. And even though God had made covenants with them and God had given them directions, God had showed them how to walk things out, they just did not trust God. As a matter of fact, in the Psalms, and I believe it's Psalm 72, you know, he says that because they weren't steadfast in their covenant and they weren't steadfast in their heart, it says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited what God could do for them as individuals and as a nation because they didn't really trust God based on the covenants that he had made them. I got news for you. We want to have our hearts steadfast in this covenant of peace that God has made through the Lord Jesus Christ so that we are living in this place of rest. Now, the place of rest is not a place of laziness. It's not a place of slothfulness. It's not a place of doing nothing, because the place of rest is this place that we enter into by believing. So the Bible talks about laboring to enter into rest. So if I want to enter into rest, there's a labor where I enter into rest. And the laboring is whatever it takes for me to come to the place of absolute trust, of absolutely believing God and believing his word to such a place, or such a degree, that I am immovable. I am not troubled. I am not upset. No matter what I hear, no matter what I see, I am going to be immovable if my trust is based on the promises of God and the finished work of the Lord Jesus. So, you know, one of the things, this is just my opinion, but I believe it's really crucial for us to learn the difference, distinguish the difference between our part and God's part anytime we're in any given situation. Well, you know, we talk about the finished work of Jesus. You know, God's part has been finished. God has done his part. God has made available to us all the power that we're ever going to need in life. God's made available to us every miracle we're ever going to need. God's made available to us healing, joy, happiness, all of these kinds of things. But our part is to trust and obey. Let me just tell you, obedience is not legalism. If we're not willing to obey God, then in fact, we don't trust God. Trust and faith are the same thing. So if we don't trust God, it's impossible to please God. We can't connect with and access the life of God that's been given to us apart from trust. It's really just that simple. So, you know, God on a personal level is going to lead us. That's the incredible thing about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, is He is our shepherd. And He's always going to lead us down paths of righteousness, down paths of how it should be, how life should really work for us. He's always going to lead us into paths of abundance. He's always going to lead us away from a lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. His job is to lead us into what's been given to us freely by God. But we have to trust Him and we have to follow Him. It's really, really that simple. But I want to get into this thing about the place of peace and power. You know, when I first got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was like a lot of people. Man, I'm telling you, something would go wrong in my life. And, you know, I'd ask people, they say, well, the devil's attacking you. And what am I supposed to do? Well, you got to fight the devil. You got to resist the devil. And so, you know, you do all these things. You scream at the devil. And you put all of your attention on the devil, and you you get this momentary relief, and then it seems to all come back, and so you go back and say, well, what happened? I screamed at the devil, I fought the devil, I used Jesus' name, I felt better for a little while, and now it's all come back, and they're like, well, see, he's just coming back stronger now. Well, none of that's actually scriptural. You know, the devil is a defeated foe. A part of entering into rest concerning the devil is realizing he has no power over you. You know, realizing, see, you know, I got a really hateful message on YouTube where I was talking about the devil and how confused we are in understanding him. See, temptation doesn't start with the devil. The Bible says it starts with us. It says you're tempted when you're drawn away of your own lust. Somebody wrote me and said, you need to learn English. Tempting and the devil means there's a tempter and he's the one tempting you. Well, I may need to learn English, but this person needs to learn the Bible, because the Bible says all temptation originates with us. It originates with our desires. I got news for you. Anytime you feel lack, anytime you feel inadequate, anytime you feel like you're not going to have what you need for life, your desires then are going to cause you to look somewhere besides God. Because when we're looking at God, there's going to be this sense of provision. There's going to be this sense of hope. He is the God of hope. And whenever our hope is truly in Him, the Bible says we will not be ashamed. But I'm going to tell you something. The God of hope is going to lead us down paths of peace. And you know, he is the Prince of Peace. He's going to lead us down paths of peace. And He's going to lead us to whatever, whatever we need. But we're not going to get there if we're in fear. You know, it's interesting. When you get to the place of fear, your focus is on everything except God and His promises. When you're in fear, your focus is either going to be on the circumstances, but really more than anything else, when you're in fear, your focus is really on yourself. It's the fear is the expectation of something happening to you, something bad happening to you, pain coming into your life. So, you know, I shared this with you how, you know, I was like everybody else. I learned how to scream at the devil and all this kind of stuff. But I remember when I was doing my undergraduate work in Bible college, man, I tell you, went through some incredible struggles. You know, while I was there, a person that I trusted and I'd brought into business with me literally stole my business. I was in college. I was starving. I had a baby that was just born. My utilities were getting cut off. I couldn't buy groceries. And, me and one of my buddies, we were selling our blood to literally be able to buy food. And I was picking up Coke bottles. I was doing everything I could to get by. And, man, I'm telling you, everything in my life that you could imagine was going wrong. Well, you know, the religious world is going to tell you either you're doing something wrong and you're opening the door to the devil, or, you know, you just got to go fight the devil. So either you got to find out what's wrong with you and fix it, or you got to go fight the devil. You know, neither one of those are really biblical concepts. You know, the whole book of Colossians was written to show us or to overcome this idea that you could open the door and give the devil the right to attack you. And let me tell you something, if you're struggling with that kind of thinking, you get my book, Satan Unmasked. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it anywhere. You can order it through a bookstore. You can order it through our website. But Satan Unmasked, I'm telling you, will show you who the devil really is based on the finished work of Jesus. But anyhow, back to my story. I'll never forget, on Wednesday night, our church had these home meetings. And I was getting ready to go to one of these home meetings. I just thought, man, I can't go. I can't be around anybody. I got to sort this out. So I went into the auditorium. It was usually left open. And I went into the auditorium. And, man, I was getting ready just to go into a big old fight the devil thing. And I'll never forget, the Lord spoke to my heart and just said, don't say anything. Don't start praying about your problem, and don't start fighting the devil. And, you know, I just couldn't understand it. I could not figure out what was going wrong. Well, later on, the Lord showed me the scriptural reason for this, but what I came to understand was this. If I'm fighting the devil, then my focus is not on God, it's on the devil. If I'm praying and all of my prayers are about my problem, then all of my focus is on my problem. I am magnifying the problems. I'm making it bigger. You know, the Bible tells us to magnify the Lord. Well, you can't make God any bigger except in your own experience and in your own awareness. So in every situation, we're either going to magnify the Lord, or we're going to magnify our problem, or we're going to magnify the devil. Well, you know what? I realize that when I put my focus on the problem, or if I put my focus on the devil, I have become what the Bible calls carnal minded. I am focusing on the problem. I am not creating an awareness and a connection to the Holy Spirit. I'm not connecting to the life and power of God that's in me. The scripture that God taught me out of that situation was from the book of Isaiah, where it tells us that in quietness and confidence is our peace. Isaiah 30:15, it says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. And quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Let me read you this from the New International Version, because that word returning indicates repentance, the changing of your mind, the coming, you know, coming back to the Lord and your focus and your attention. It says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength. And so what he's saying is, turn back to the Lord in all of your focus and all of your attention and all of your prayer. This is where you start acknowledging who God really is. This is where you start acknowledging the promises of God. And this is where you activate your heart and your imaginations and your thoughts and your mind so that your emotions change. Remember, wherever you focus your attention is what affects your emotions. And because most of us follow this religious idea of always fighting against something out there, then our mind is always on what we're against. Our mind is always on that out there. And our mind is not on, not aware of, and not connected to, and not experiencing who Christ in us really is. It's interesting in that passage of scripture in Isaiah 30, where he says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and confidence is your strength. But that verse goes on to say, but you would have none of it. And what he tells them is, he said, you think you're going to get on your horses and you're going to ride away and you're going to go somewhere and you're going to get delivered from this situation. Well, see, what our tendency is, is when we have lack, or when we have fear, or when we feel threatened, if we don't connect to God, if we don't start experiencing God inwardly, we're going to go somewhere to someone or something that makes us feel either safe, or it doesn't make us feel peace, but at least we might have the absence of conflict or the absence of torment. You know, this is where the children of Israel went and made alliances with Egypt and other enemies of God. And, you know, this is where the drug addict or the alcoholic goes back and start using again. This is where the person that uses sex goes out and commits adultery again. This is where the person that needs all their buddies around goes back and, you know, and we go to all of these places or all of these other sources to try to meet this need that really, if we would just get our attention back on God. Remember, what you are experiencing emotionally is all about where your attention is. You know, Romans 8:6 tells us to be carnally, and that word carnally means flesh-minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Listen, this is where we turn our attention on the Lord. We don't want to be carnally minded. And when we turn our attention on the Lord, what's going to happen is we're going to experience peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, or it's actually the word imagination, whose imagination is stayed on you because he trusts in you. See, keeping your attention, the fact that you turn your attention to the Lord when trouble comes says, this is who I trust. This is my source. But as you keep your attention focused on him, you will find that your confidence returns to you. You know, I'll never forget one of the first incredibly overwhelming financial battles I went through here years ago when we were building our first building and our lender defaulted on us. And this was back when all the savings and loans were crashing, much like the banks are today. And I wasn't the only one. There were people, I had buddies all over the state that they were losing their churches. They were losing their property because the construction lenders were bailing out on them. And this was during another financial crisis back in the 80s. Well, the Lord spoke to me and said, before you make a decision, before you negotiate with anybody, before you go out and do anything, you get yourself to the place of peace. And I would get up in the mornings and I would spend my time worshiping. I'd sit down to my piano and I would just sit there and play the piano and I would worship and I would acknowledge scriptures about who God was. And I'd do that every morning until I would sense that, by keeping my awareness on him, I would sense it when my heart would change and I would come to that place of peace. And you know something, that's not works. Remember, you got to labor to enter into rest. Well, that laboring was the persuading of my heart. That laboring was turning my attention back to the Lord. When everything on me was trying to get me to focus outward and focus on my problems, and we made it through that situation. It took time, but we made it. The Lord led me through that situation. And I'll tell you, when nobody hardly could borrow money, when no church hardly could borrow money in Huntsville, unless you were a denominational church that had been around a long time, you know, God led me to the most unlikely person in our city to loan us money. And you know, God walked me through that thing. But if I had not stayed at the place of peace, I would not have experienced this sense of confidence, this sense of power. And, you know, whether you're praying for the sick, you know, whether it's your own disease, whether you want to see a family member healed, when you want to experience God flowing through you, there's got to be this absolute confidence in the love of God, because faith works by love, and love flows in. I mean, power flows in whenever we're rooted and grounded in the love of God. But you've also got to be at the place of peace so that all of your attention, so you're not driven by fear, and all of your attention is not on you and what might go wrong. Let me tell you something. Living in peace is not necessarily the place of passivity, but for sure, it's always the place of power. Come back for my mentoring moment in just a minute. You know, I wasn't able to go into some of these stories as much as I probably will in my series. But listen, you got to realize that every day in every situation, you're going to be challenged with where your attention is going to be. Is your attention going to be on the problem, or is your attention going to be on the solution? And if God is your solution, if God is where you go to for your solution, you've got to have a way to confidently access him and begin to connect with him in your heart. Now, remember this. There are some laws that apply in this. Number one, just quoting scripture is not enough. If you're just rambling off a bunch of scripture and you're not creating some internal image of it being real in your life, then you're actually going to create more stress. So all you got to do, you don't have to do anything formal. There's not any big secret to it. Whatever scriptures you're confessing internally, create some way to see or feel or experience or imagine them as being real in your life. But that means then you've got to have some scriptures. Whether you use my prayer organizer, whether you go through and highlight your Bible and color code it or whatever, Whenever you face a situation of hardship and it's threatening, so many times you experience what I call spiritual amnesia. In other words, bam, something hits you and it's like you forget everything you knew about God, at least for a few minutes. You need to create you a tool. And, you know, this is why I created the prayer organizer. But whether you use that is not important. You just got to have you some kind of a tool that you can flip open a page and immediately you got all these scriptures about the promises of God. And I'm telling you something, the more overwhelming the emotions, the more demonstrative you have to be. I tell you, you got to get somewhere quiet, somewhere where nobody's going to hear you, where you're not going to be embarrassed, and you've got to become what the Bible calls a poetic performer. In other words, you want to emotionally, fervently confess these scriptures. You're not trying to work anything up, but you're trying to influence yourself. You're not trying to influence God. And internally, you always want to see whatever scripture you're acknowledging it before God. You want to see it, experience it, imagine it, somehow conceptualize it so that it's real in your heart right now. And I'll tell you, if you'll do that, your heart will always turn.